close to his mouth and speak loudly and clearly. The writings of Rabash, article, What Is For I Have Hardened His Heart in the Work.
בזוהר בשלח כתוב שם וזה לשונו. ואמר רבי יצחק, לא מצינו מי שחיזק את ליבו לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא כפרעו. אמר רבי יוסי, הרי סיחון ואוג חיזקו גם כן את ליבם.
It is written in the Zohar, Rabbi Yitzchak said, We did not find anyone who hardened his heart before the Creator as Pharaoh. Rabbi Yossi said, But Sichon and Og also hardened their hearts. He replied, This is not so. They hardened their hearts against Israel, but they did not harden their hearts against the Creator, as Pharaoh hardened his heart against him, for he saw his might and did not repent.
שהם לא חיזקו את ליבם לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא או שחיזקו את
We should understand the difference between not hardening their hearts before the Creator or hardening their hearts against Israel. After all the hatred that the nations feel toward Israel is only because they are the Creator's people. As our sages said, what is Mount Sinai? It is that sin'ah, hatred, came down to the idol worshippers.
To return to the topic, meaning concerning the hatred of Israel, Pharaoh hated the people of Israel and wanted to enslave them. Moses came as a messenger of the Creator, but he wouldn't listen and said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Sichon and Og also hated Israel. But what is the difference with respect to Israel? The reason why they hate Israel. Did Sichon and Og harden their hearts because the people of Israel was unimportant? And this is why they hate them? Or did they harden their hearts against the Creator?
That
the Creator was unimportant in their eyes, and this is why they hated Israel. In that case, what is the difference between, with respect to Israel? We should interpret the above words of the Zohar in the work. We need to know that there are two obstructors standing opposite a person and not letting him cross the barrier and achieve love of the Creator. Since man is born with a desire to receive for himself and cannot do anything without a prophet.
I know.
That is, one can relinquish self-reception in order to bestow something upon someone if this gives him emotional satisfaction. In that case, he can relinquish self-reception. For example, a person can work for an important person. If, say, the Admo of Lubavitch comes to the airport with a suitcase, gives it to one of his followers, and gives him $100 for his work, certainly the follower will not want to receive the pay from the rabbi and will give it back to him. If the rabbi should ask him, why don't you want to receive it? Did I pay you too little for the work? If I had given an ordinary porter $10, he would have been happy. Why don't you want to take it? The follower would reply, my privilege of serving the rabbi is worth to me more than any fortune in the world that the rabbi might give me. We therefore see
מה שהרבי ייתן לי. רואים אנו,
we therefore see that one can work for an important person without any reward.
ומשום זה,
for this reason, when one comes to engage in Torah and mitzvot, commandments, in order to bestow, he can certainly relinquish self-love for the sake of the Creator. At that time, what does the obstructor to the work of the Creator do so that one will not be able to walk on the path of the Creator? He does one thing. He does not let a person depict the greatness and importance of the Creator. It follows that all the strength that the Sitra Acha, other side, has is against the Creator. He tells him, the Sitra Acha tells a person, I know you are very powerful, meaning you can overcome your lusts, unlike weak-minded and soft-hearted people. You are the strongest of the strong. However, the reason why you're not walking on the path of truth is that the goal is not so important to you, to make you annul yourself for it. With this force, it obstructs him from achieving the goal. This is what the Zohar says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. We did not find anyone who hardened his heart before the Creator as Pharaoh. That is, he did not appreciate the Creator and said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? This is the first obstructor. The second obstructor is that when one sees that he has overcome his arguments, goes above reason, and does not regard what it tells him, then he comes with a complaint against Israel. That is, one who wants to walk on the path of the Creator is called Yashar Kel, straight to the Creator, which is directly to the Creator. This means that he wants all the actions that he does to rise straight to the Creator and does not want to have any other intention. For this reason, what does the other obstructor do? He degrades the Israel in him and tells him, the Israel in you is very weak, both in skill and in strength to overcome. You have a weak character, and this way you want to go, where all the works are only for the Creator, can be demanded from an Israel who has all the required qualities, namely good education, skills, and the courage to fight the evil in him. He can walk on this path, but not you. Thus, by what does he obstruct him? He no longer speaks to him about the importance of the goal, as with Pharaoh's argument, who disputed the importance of the goal. Rather, he tells him that the goal is very important, but you are not important enough to be able to walk on such a lofty path. So, walk on the path of the general public, and you do not need to be exceptional. Only this way is suitable for you. Likewise, he tells us about faith above reason, that rationally it's impossible to emerge from their control. meaning Pharaoh and all the obstructors, but only through faith above reason, because this force cancels all the forces in the world, all the powers in the world. So faith above reason is probably the most powerful force in reality, so much so that it cancels Pharaoh. On the other hand, as powerful as his force is, Balasulam writes elsewhere that we can use it any minute without any effort. Don't remember exactly where.
How can
that be? If this power is so, this force is so powerful that it can defeat Pharaoh, then how can it be so accessible and available?
We probably have another problem against that, which although this force is accessible and opportune to us, on the other hand, we have great difficulty to connect to it and use it.
Can.
Yes?
It is written that the Torah weakens a person's strength. So the question is, the light is supposed to give strength. Why does it say that it weakens a person?
Because this speaks about those cases where we need to turn to the Creator and find in Him our foundation. And then, therefore, what the Torah does is it shows us how we have zero forces on our own and that we have no choice but to turn to the Creator. Yes, Gilad?
From the article, there is a question. What is Pharaoh saying? Is he saying that there is no creator, only the will to receive? What is his argument?
Or
there is a creator, but you can never reach him.
No, that's how the spies say it.
So what does Pharaoh say? There is no such thing.
Why
the will to receive is the only ruler and don't look for anything beyond it, besides it?
Let's say.
Because he says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?
Yes.
So maybe he says, there is such a thing which you can, but you cannot obey it. What exactly is Pharaoh saying there?
It's written in the Zohar, and Rabbi Yitzchak said, Pharaoh was wiser than them all, and in order, in every step they had, he did not want them to have redemption for Israel. And Pharaoh didn't think there was a connection, another connection of the nation that controls all the forces of the Sidracha, and therefore he would harden his heart.
Yes.
Meaning we need to go against Pharaoh, as he doesn't let the heart feel the greatness of the Creator and to bow before him, before the Creator.
So
his argument is that the heart is...
This is the argument that's in the Zohar, because in the Zohar it talks about the matter of Pharaoh is within reason, where from the side of the reason and the intellect there's no way to come out of their control, but only in the force of faith above reason, where this cancels all the forces in the world, then you can emerge out of Egypt. Only with the force of above reason, of faith above reason.
So it's an intellectual force. It says, I don't see anything beyond, so it doesn't exist?
Yes.
So what does it mean, harden his heart? What is Pharaoh saying with respect to the heart?
If so, we need to read it again. You're not asking those questions. Anything to add, please?
Rabash po mitayer matzav sheben adam.
Rabash is describing a situation where a person begins to feel the state of Egypt, the who and what questions. Against the Creator, against Israel, as he describes. What's not clear is the advice of Rabash. Go above reason. Here in Egypt, in the will to receive, in order to receive. Now he discovered that he is there. With what force does he rise above his reason?
Meaning how do we connect ourselves, bind ourselves to the force of faith above reason, so it will correct us? Actually, as we see from all the sources, it's the force of prayer. And there's no more than that.
Yes?
Concerning above reason, does a person activate it when he has importance of the goal or when he doesn't have it? Importance of the Creator. When he has importance of the Creator, of course. Question. So, if the Creator opens his importance to me, I'll be able to serve him. If it doesn't open, I won't be able to serve him.
Yes.
So that's the law in nature. So what does a person do if he doesn't have importance? Where's the above reason here? What is he activating when he doesn't have importance?
The question is in place. Okay. Yes.
He says that he doesn't let us depict the importance. Why does Rabash say that he obstructs us from depicting the importance and greatness of the Creator? What in our work is the act of depicting the importance of the Creator?
That's what should save us.
It's as if there's an intermediary degree between faith above reason and within reason, where the Creator is hiding, is hidden. There's like a half degree called depicting importance. Is this our work? Do we have work in this?
Yes, of course.
Yasham Kent.
Light and everything's fine. What's okay? Nothing is fine that's happening because I feel like I'm doing the work and I'm not getting anything. And here it's written, the work wears down a person's forces. When do I start to feel that the Torah does not wear me down? When does it happen? After 20 years? 30 years? When?
Under what condition will you feel that the work does not exhaust you?
Exactly, I'm asking you.
Well, you know, you give a person some work, and with it, you give him some reward, some pay. When does he feel that he's getting the pay and he's happy?
When he gets a salary, when he gets some kind of reward.
When he gets a salary, when you give it to him, and he accepts it. But the work is not so important, right?
Right.
The salary covers the effort.
So, you each time tell us, look, from above, there it's like there's a calculation. It's written, penny, another penny makes a great sum.
Yeah.
But we see anything. So how can you tell me on one hand you say the Torah does not wear a person's forces down? And here he says to, on the other hand, you need a strong, to be a hero like a lion, because the Torah can truly wear a person's forces down. So what should I believe? It's not that I don't believe you. He writes like this. I'm asking, when do I come to a stage in all this study, after years and years, that I don't feel like the Torah is just fatiguing my forces? I truly feel like I'm completely worn down from all this work.
When you connect to the Creator, and He will show you the way.
What does it mean that I connect to the Creator and He shows me the way?
This, I don't know. Ask Him.
No, that's okay. I'm asking, when will I feel that it's going to be easier for me as far as the work in spirituality? When it's hard for me to get up in the morning, it's hard for people to come to the morning lesson every day, and see how many people are falling along the way. When will we receive that strength? What do I need to do to receive the force so it'll be easy for me to wake up in the morning, so it'll be easy to sit for 3 hours, so it'll be easier in life?
Importance. I need to get importance from the friends.
That's the whole thing, to get importance from the friends?
Yes.
And then what?
And then it'll be easy for you to sit in the lesson.
That's the thing?
Ken?
I also have a question like Shaul asked earlier. When the spies come and say that the land is beautiful, it's got good fruit, etc. But we're weak, we're not capable of reaching it. With what glee do they see that the land is beautiful? After all, bestowal is opposite to reception. They need to somewhat be already in some measure of bestowal in order to see that it's beautiful.
You're right. But about the spies, we don't really ask because they're angels.
How can they see that the land is beautiful? If they're in the desire to receive, it will appear almost repulsive to them. And yet they see that it's beautiful, but still there's a certain attitude towards the goal. They say, yes, it's nice, it's beautiful, it's good, but the weakness is mine. I'm not capable of reaching it.
Mm-hmm.
So with what clique can they see that it's beautiful?
In their vessel.
So that's already a corrected vessel.
For the angels, yes.
For the spies, yes.
The spies, they're angels. Meaning
it's enough that it's sufficient forces that you can see the greatness of the goal?
Yes.
But still not enough for him to see that he can do it and get there?
It's because a person doesn't have the strength.
So what are they actually asking? They said they sinned, they missed something. There was some state that was...
They make a person ask for the strength.
And the spies didn't ask? That was the mistake that they had to?
No, that precisely... These are the forces by which man wants to reveal. These forces, the spies stimulate them, awaken them.
Zichron One.
Good morning, Rav. This article confuses me a little. It presents the main obstructor, Pharaoh, as the great issue, and my feeling is that actually the big obstructor is Zichron and Og. We say that actually that the land is beautiful, but it's not from our forces. I feel like most of the public, the people of Israel, agreed that the land is good, but it's not from their forces to. They have to kind of give up and not continue the work.
Yes.
It almost connects to our situation today, even, but in spiritual work, it feels like the real difficulties. Be like everyone, do, but you're not going to win here. So it's like a clash here. The real danger is to be for 40 years and not reach the land. I always say that that's the case because the enemy is too big.
So what's the question?
The question is, do I understand the article correctly? Is it Pharaoh or Sichon and Og, the first obstructor or the second obstructor?
They are different obstructions. Different obstructions. When do we win? The people of Israel, when do they win?
Only the force of faith.
Through which obstruction? You say it.
It's felt that from the explanation of the nations, let's say about Sichon and Og, the Creator is more important than to us.
Yes.
Is it like that?
Yes.
So they feel him more than we do.
Yes.
What does that mean? So it's like we're supposed to be, well, does it mean that we're the nation of the Creator?
If we don't reach that level, then we're not his people.
If we don't reach that degree, what's there to hate us?
Even if you're not doing your duty doesn't run away from you.
The nations feel the potential that's in the people of Israel more than they do.
Yes. And because, on the one hand, the people of Israel don't do what the Creator wants, on the other hand, if it succeeds, it will go against them.
He also doesn't feel what they want of him.
Yes.
So how can you come with complaints to him?
Tell me more than that. If the people of Israel were attached to their duty and would show it to everyone, and even though it would be, and if it were revealed to everyone, then would they agree with the role of the people of Israel?
Yes, it's written that then they will carry the people of Israel on their shoulders, etc.
But out of which desire? How would they suddenly agree?
According to my understanding, we're blocking the light to the world, and if we become similar to the light, then everything opens up, no?
Through the general correction. Well, why can't we, through the general correction, bring down light to the world?
It's like the Creator's not letting us. He doesn't enable the people of Israel to feel their role, to execute it.
In other words, in any case, we must first ask the Creator to be in agreement with us, for us to be in agreement with Him. Okay. We've got here so many. Turkey too.
Good morning, dear Rav, friends. What form or method of prayer can lead a person to faith above reason. How to reach faith above reason.
The illumination that comes to him from above, from the Creator. When a person performs all kinds of, does all kinds of actions against his will, in order to get closer to the Creator. And then the Creator gives him this gift. Faith above reason is a gift. It's not like we come to it with our own strength. Okay? All right.
Yes, dear Rav,
it's written that with the force of faith above reason, it's possible to cancel all the forces in the world. How do we get rid of all the forces in the world with the help of faith above reason?
Faith above reason is such a force that
that's good.
Faith above reason is a force that it is possible to increase, to magnify, only with actions that are above reason. I don't know how to say it.
Что значит, что она отменяет все силы, существующие в мире?
What does it mean that this force cancels all the other forces in the world?
It is that indeed there are no forces in the world that can influence a person and turn him in another direction if he has the strength of faith above reason. Okay?
Что значит, что мы поднимаемся в эту силу, в веру высшее знание?
What does it mean that we have to equalize this force of faith above reason that it's so powerful?
We reached the level of Bina. And I'll take you out of it.
Not to turn to Pharaoh, I'm saying that when I'm in a state of Pharaoh who negates the force of the Creator or the importance of the Creator, I'm in such a state. How can I even turn to the Creator to take me out of that if I'm in a state of negating?
You cannot turn to the Creator until you come to a state where the people of Israel force Pharaoh to bow his head.
The people of Israel obligate?
Yes.
The people of Israel have the force to do this without the Creator?
Not without the Creator, but with the Creator, the people of Israel are kind of between Pharaoh and the Creator. And it eventually determines who governs.
In its choice to what direction?
Yes.
I understood. Thank you.
Sono degli ostacoli spirituali che dobbiamo affrontare oppure tutto dobbiamo sempre andare sopra con fede sopra la ragione? Grazie.
That we don't believe enough and feel and feel the Creator. Feel the Creator among these forces.
New York.
Holland. Good morning, dear Rav.
Morning.
What gives us actually the force of faith to overcome
the obstructors when we don't have the force of faith, and the force of faith is the only force we need to overcome.
If we don't attain the force of faith, so there's nothing to talk about. We need to attain that force. The force of faith is...
How do we get it, Rob?
From above? Only from above. Through prayer, through praying. Asking, demanding. No, actually, thanks to them, we get an increased force of faith.
So
what do we do? We are. Let's say that it says it. The only remedy is the force of faith to get above the obstructors.
Yes.
But the obstructors are, yes, they are hindering us to get the force of faith.
But that's in order for us to attain an even higher force of faith. What can you do? If we see disturbances between us, confusion, that someone tossed us from the stairs, that we've only climbed now with our forces, and then again we have to climb that same ladder. So what to do? That's the sons of Israel side from the work, and so on and so on. Such cases. So specifically from the state of despair, we can reach a plea, a cry, the correct plea, and then you get the right help for it. And we succeed.
So then we ask for even more force of faith, to come to higher states of faith. And faith gives more faith. So
yes.
The remedy is asking all the time for faith above reason.
Ken.
Yes. Until we reach, until we're completely dependent on the Creator in everything. And then, because we have no more choices, we cry out, and the sons of Israel sighed from the work, and their plea rised above. And if not complete help from the Creator, there was no chance to reach anything from a spiritual degree. It's the final despair. Because they see that with their own forces they can't succeed. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
Generations.
What did you understand?
Everything. First he writes, it's not from the corporeal concepts. He gets them in the inheritance from one generation to the next.
Yes.
But then he says that we don't get them through inheritance. If it doesn't come through inheritance, then how do we receive these spiritual possessions?
No, he's not actually speaking about spiritual possessions, but whatever isn't clearly in the matter.
So what are these spiritual possessions that we receive through inheritance?
All kinds of tendencies that are in the next generation that came out of our generation, and they continue that tendency to music, to song, to something, to things that are supposedly spiritual. So nothing spiritual we receive from previous generations. No, directly no. And in any case, what do we receive from our ancestors, from the Kabbalists in all the previous generations, which progresses us to spirituality? Only a tendency. Meaning. That we have quality, how should I say it? Quality. They say, like, Jews are smart, that they have a sense on where to gain, what to do, what yes, what no. That also is something that comes from our ancestors. And it's special tendencies.
The tendency to unite, is that coming from ancestry?
I don't think anybody has a tendency for unity.
From a period. This article is an article that is as if very logical. Very logical, very analytical. And it has many parts, components, changes, forces that are acting. And I remember that when we studied that article once, I would once think, the source. So I'm the source, and how they act on me are the forces that are acting on me. And the environment, which is the 10, how it acts on me.
Why not?
And since my wife died, I feel that
she took the whole Torah with her.
I'm not a source, I'm not a feeling. I feel that this article is much more emotional than intellectual. The intellect left me.
That's good.
I feel as if everything I once thought and everything that there was, there is no source. There are no forces to sit, and I can hardly even listen to, hardly even hear what's written here. What you see from here is the remains of something that comes to the lesson, like some bits of salt that came here.
To such an extent, your wife was used to take all your internality.
She brought me to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And we studied a lot together. A lot. The last few months, when she was in the hospital, we would just study. Nothing else. And this article, where is the source? Where are the changes? Where are the qualities? What is opposite? Everything is just static. Why, Rav? Why? Why did everything depart like that? It's very frightening. It's as if I don't know how to say it, that I'm getting old, wearing out, getting... It's very frightening.
You'll see how it's all going to be inverted into your benefit.
See how people are philosophizing about it, how friends bring states here. So I received, I didn't receive, it's direct, it's the opposite, and I ask myself, where is straight, where is the opposite, and where is the source? Where is it?
It doesn't matter. It's not important. It doesn't pass next to your ear, it goes in. It goes right into the heart.
So I'm not gonna just die.
Don't worry about it. I am going to die, but I don't know how to call it. Don't worry about death either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simple.
Amit, ma itcha?
The influence of the environment, does it interfere or change the original records, the reshimot that a person must go through, or is it also part of the reshimot? Where does the influence of the environment come in there?
The influence of the environment enters into the person's foundation, but it doesn't replace it for him. It acts like it writes here, that habit becomes a second nature in such ways.
We know that all the records are already set and prepared. So what does the influence of the environment do? It interferes with what was predetermined, or is it part of that path?
The influence of the environment changes the person in the direction of the purpose of creation. We're speaking about a correct environment.
But it's also prepared in advance. It's like it's there's like an unexpected cause that
we're not discussing that. We don't know the Creator's plans. Where are those plans? Where according to those we enter into these four factors? And when is it one factor or another that controls us?
So, last question. What's the purpose of the influence of the environment in attaining the purpose of creation?
The influence of the environment, let's put it this way. The Creator is the cause, which is general, particular, and everything, through the influence of the environment.
Thank you.
And then we, whether we want it or not, we are urged to reach the goal that has been prepared in advance. More.
When
he writes to uproot a bad tendency, so what does that mean?
What does it mean to uproot a bad tendency?
Yeah.
When we reach such states, which are under such influences, where we hate a certain tendency, a certain quality, then we want to get rid of it, to depart from it, so much so that we stop using it altogether. It's the recognition of evil. We reveal a certain tendency in a way that we don't return to it.
So, supposedly we say that the main thing is the intention. So we can uproot a tendency like that stinginess. I can completely uproot it, or I just change the way I use it?
No, the use, it seems.
So that's called the uproot of bad tendency.
The tendency itself remains, but in relation to what does it remain? And in relation to what does it depart?
So I want to understand what a bad tendency is. What is that?
For the time being, we divide it into bad and good. All those things we need. With all of them, we come to correction. But there are tendencies that are with us on the path, and there are tendencies that are opposite to the path, from us. But it's like a wheel. You have one part that's going forward and the other part that's going backward.
Can
the influence of the environment change hereditary tendencies?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. What do you mean hereditary qualities?
A person is born with different kinds of qualities, like things that are in his DNA.
If it's already inside his body, in his foundational tendency, so no one can change that. It's like Rabash gave an example about mice and cats.
So what can an environment change?
That it doesn't come, things that don't come from nature itself. But what a person acquired throughout his life. So that is what he can correct through the environment. We see that between us even.
What? No.
It's important because I feel what a gift, what a privilege we have, what an opportunity we have to correct humanity. And I want my son to also go in this direction.
In other words, if Israel only keeps shattering and shattering, if our children don't follow us in our importance on this path, then it'll all come to nothing. We want it to come to the Creator's benefit.
You want to know how much it depends on you?
Is there something I can do that will help ensure that my child will take what I am developing with the friends and do something greater with his generation of friends?
It depends on education and upbringing. The extent to which he sees in you and in your environment something that is higher than his life, something more respectable.
And there's no possibility that out of nowhere he just rejects somehow the education that I try to provide for him? How do I?
It depends on how much he can check, measure, and honor that.
But I can't control whether he enjoys that or not. I have no control.
Can.
Yes. Okay.
That is the plan. The plan needs to be that what is important to you and which you checked and reached the conclusion of, so that also becomes important to your sons. It passes from one generation through another, through grandfather, father, son, and that's how it passes on.
No.
Sometimes through rejection. Well, and sometimes it's opposite. So
Shita or Shlita? Control. Kama Shlita yesh lanu?
How much control do we have over the next generation if our children would be rejected?
We'll reject what we tried to pass along, and how much control do we have if they'll accept it?
I don't
know. How much they will receive it, accept it, or reject it. It all depends on the extent to which you, how great you appear in their eyes. You need to show them an image that they will want to somewhat copy. So he's asking how it will not reject them, how to encourage them on the path, but not to reject them. Through upbringing, education, through that in which he will take them to trips, will explain to them, will speak to them in whichever way possible. That is very important. There's nothing really to say here. It's a very important thing. I am certain that other than the hereditary possessions that we pass on, that from the ages of 3, 4, and 5 we can see where they are attracted, their children. So then we can see as well through what we can change them. But that needs to be according to his way, as it is written, educate the child according to the child's way. If his nature is really anti, so that won't help. If his original nature is anti, then it won't help. Even if you want to give him all kinds of examples of a life of music or literature, if he doesn't have those inclinations, if he's against them, then he won't want it. Okay, we'll need to keep discussing that. But the main thing is to hold on to the connection. And that the sons will be connected to their fathers. That is very important. If that does not happen, that is the reason for all kinds of problems later on. We see in this generation that we're stuck in workplaces and in all kinds of engagements and also in wars. And what happens with children? They go in all directions. But today, too, you have children who are the ages of 30 and 40. What, Moshe?
You always explain that tendencies and qualities don't change, that you can't change them, but only the way we use it, which is the intention.
Yes.
Even the worst tendency, if there's a right intention, so it's good. So my question is, what can the environment actually change if the tendencies don't change? So what does the environment do?
The environment changes the result. It changes the result.
What's that mean? The
direction.
I have a tendency. Let's say I'm stingy or nervous or...
If he's stingy, bring him to work in...
Is
responsible for finances.
Okay, but it doesn't change. He stays stingy, but just the way he uses that quality. So that's what I said, the intention. But as we learn, the Creator changes our intention.
Yes.
So what does the environment do? What does it change if it does?
The environment manipulates him in order to turn to the Creator and request change.
So it only helps a person to turn to the Creator, that he will change a person.
Yes, certainly a person is incapable of changing anything. Okay.
Kadima.
Okay, let's move on. Move on.
Bechira chofshit.
Free choice. However, when we example these four factors, we find that although our strength is not enough to face the first factor, the source, we still have the ability and free choice to protect ourselves against the other three factors by which the source changes in its individual parts, and sometimes in its general part as well, through habit, which endows it with a second nature, as explained above.
Yes, meaning the most important for us is to see what environment we are in. In general, the environment. An environment can be the TV, books, friends, and whatnot. Through what do we... Through what are we supposed to change? Through what can we change? And it's the same thing with our children, our grandchildren. There is really work in that over the generations for each and every person. So educate the child according to the child's way on one hand, and on the other hand, try to keep it and observe that he's always going on that right path all the time.